CliffCentral.com.
Burning platform fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
DDO, Justice Malala, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Very good. You're sounding very fresh and rested.
Am I?
Yes.
This cup is good. No, I'm down with the flu, but I think I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I feel good.
All right.
I feel good despite all that.
All right.
So I can.
Morning. Yes, really Justice. Hi. So Gareth's going to be away this week, next week. So, you know, I don't know what your schedule provides, but it's always great to see you. And I think if Mabali goes 2 weeks without seeing you, she gets a bit edgy. There was a time, and then we couldn't work out why, and it was because you weren't here in the flesh.
you know, Justice, it's just nice every now and again to have somebody of sound mind. Because
yes,
Lord knows the people I work with, they all have issues, but then again, so do I. So,
thank you. I've just dictated a very strong email to the head of the station that you should get an increase. You know.
Well, you see, there you go. This is why this is why I hold you in such high regard.
And me, Justice, what about
well,
me?
Well, you have said nice things about me. You know, I mean, just this one person of sound mind. I love it. Mabali, take the day off.
This is awkward now.
Okay. Well, Justice, let's get straight into it because, you know, speaking about taking the day off, there are a number of people who would like to see Batabile Dlamini take more than just a day off. Actually, they would prefer that she was gone. Of course, the story around SASSA and the big mess that it's unfolded to be has been, you know, has been keeping us occupied over the last few days. So let's get straight into it and get your thoughts on the whole SASSA debacle. And then as well as include, you know, some of the things that the minister has been saying, some of the things that the president has been saying about the way this matter has unfolded.
I mean, for me, thanks, Mabali, thanks, Ben. One of the things for me that stands out about this story is the repeated stance by the minister that, do not worry, grants will be paid on April 1. The president says, don't worry, they will be paid. Everyone says they will be paid. No one said they won't be paid, actually. We all know that they will be paid because the money is there. It's your tax money, it's my tax money that's going to pay them. The big issue is this. In 2014, the Constitutional Court said, this deal that you have with CPS, Cash Pay Master Services, is invalid. And therefore, you need to start a new process and make sure that when this contract comes to an end, you've got a new supplier. So if we give CPS, who in the first place were declared invalid, that their BEE was a fake BEE, that all these things happened, then we are breaking the law. That's the first thing. We are breaking the law. What the Constitutional Court said was invalid remains invalid. You can't say, oh, now that I'm in trouble, I'm continuing with an invalid contract. You can't. On Monday, Vusi Pikoli, who's the former NPA head, made it very clear. He said, continuing an invalid contract is an invalid act in itself. You can't make it up. You can't say, no, I'm in trouble. I just have to keep going. So that's the first thing. This is an illegal act to continue with CPS. You can't do that. But let's say, yes, you continue, and CPS continues to do the job. There's a second thing. Ben, you might not know this, but Mabali owns a big company that can...
I knew it.
That can... You didn't know. But that can distribute these social grants. Now, if you give the contract to CPS to continue... What about Mabali's company? Have they had a chance to tender? Can uh-huh. they tender? What is that? The Public Finance Management Act says very clearly, every job that comes up, because this is government money, you can't just say, oh, you know, I'm going to give it to so-and-so. You've got to have a competitive, open tender process where Mabali wins or Justice wins or CPS wins. That needs to happen. But if it doesn't happen, then we have a problem here. And so that's the second thing. The law whatever happens on April 1 and the grants are paid, the law will have been broken twice. First, because the Constitutional Court has been ignored. Second, because the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act, has not been complied with. And that's a big, big problem. And so all the stuff about they will be paid, yes, they will be paid. Yes, we know they'll be paid. But you know what? The law cannot be broken because people have failed to do their jobs. And so that is why, Mabale, when you start off by saying, take the day off. No, maybe the minister should take the month off and maybe the year off and maybe the rest of her tenure off. That's exactly where it goes. It's the law must be upheld.
So,
and that, sorry, go ahead.
Justice, I mean, you talk about the fact that the law has been broken here. So are we venturing into yet another situation where, you know, one of the opposition parties or an organization will then make the decision to, you know, take these people to court or take them to task? Is that where we're headed with the minister?
We definitely headed there. Remember the Black Sash, and I think with the support of a few other organizations, have already taken this matter to the Constitutional Court. Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng yesterday called on SASSA, the SA Social Security Agency, and the minister and the department to appear before the court on March 15th. When that happens, I don't think the court is going to be like a poodle, as some aspects of parliament have been. They are going to ask some tough questions about why, who made the decision? Remember that the minister went off after 2014. She asked some very high-powered lawyers to give her advice. So they gave her advice once. They gave her advice twice. Then she went to President Zuma's lawyer, Michael Hali, to ask for advice. Now, to go from advocates on the Joburg bar and other bars and look at the advice and then say, ah, you know what, I'm going to go to someone else, and that's the president lawyer. That's very curious indeed. So the Chief Justice wants to know, who gave you this advice that you mustn't come to the Constitutional Court? Because you'll remember last week, the DG of the department went to SASSA and said, you guys must go to the Constitutional Court and say we are applying to have the judgment of 2014 wavered so that we can make this thing happen without having to comply with the law. It was put in as an application. Then allegedly the minister said, no, don't do that. I've been advised by someone else that we don't need to go to the court. So it was withdrawn as an application. It just became a letter without any weight to it, just saying, oh, Constitutional Court, we're just telling you that we are going ahead with another contract. But don't worry, you sit there and act like a poodle. Well, the Constitutional Court is not going to do that, clearly. And Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng says, come to me and explain. So that's going to be very, very interesting. And what comes out of that and how the court then interprets what happened will be very interesting indeed. So, you know, my view is that this thing is just starting. It's not over yet. And at the end of the day, it will be the Jacob Zuma administration once again with egg on its face, after yet another embarrassing appearance in the Constitutional Court. Remember that 2 weeks ago, the High Court in Pretoria said this administration's decision to not arrest al-Bashir when he came to South Africa and to rush off to Parliament and try to get out of the ICC was invalid and unlawful and was trying to subvert the Constitution. That was egg on the face of this administration. Now you have this issue where, again, the cabinet fails to comply with the laws of the country, I think another embarrassment. And it tells us something really about a cabinet that keeps on being beaten into line really by the courts. And it tells you something about this administration, and it's that either people haven't read the Constitution, either they don't take advice from their many, many lawyers, and we spent hundreds of billions of rand on lawyers. And they just, you know, just use it. And that at some point we have to start saying, Minister, you didn't follow the law, and we spent so much on lawyers. Maybe from now on we should say you should be held liable personally instead of us bailing you out and paying for all these expensive lawyers when you don't follow their advice.
Justice, not too long ago, we, you know, heard from our finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, who, you know, delivered his budget speech. And, you know, part of that was him outlining the kind of plans that will be required in order to pull our country out of the economic crisis it finds itself in. If you are a doctor, Justice, and our economy was a patient, walks into your doctor's rooms and you had to give it a diagnosis, where are we with our economy in this country?
You know, you have to love Dr. Padile Hotla. He's the statistician general of South Africa. And Padile Hotla, you'll remember him, he decided to start wearing those yellow suits, which I thought was a brilliant marketing ploy, but man, they didn't look good. The man in the yellow suit, you know, we need to, I wish we did more with statistics in South Africa. We like to argue a lot about stuff, and we argue about the emotional side of it and so forth, but we don't do enough looking at the statistics and what they tell us and what they say. Because Padile Hotla brings out these statistics. So the unemployment numbers, he did a fantastic thing in February, where he spoke about how are we doing with demographics, and are there enough men for the women that we have, or are there enough women in the world? And he looked at Sunnyside and said, in Sunnyside in 2000 there were way more men than there were women, and so way more women than there were men. And so forth and so forth. And at the moment in Hillbrow, there are more way men than there are women, and therefore women in Hillbrow can pick and choose who they want, and, you know, the rant of the litter sometimes doesn't make it, and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful stuff like that, you know. So this week, Statistics SA gave us the GDP growth numbers for the last quarter of 2016. And when you do the calculation for the year, basically, we only grew by 0.3% for 2016. The Treasury had said we would grow by 0.5%, and the SA Reserve Bank had said 0.4%. Now, these are the final numbers. This is what the economy grew by in 2016, 0.3%. Guys, at 0.3%, we are basically, the cake is not growing. It's the same. We've got 9 million unemployed people in South Africa. If the economy is at 0.3%, it means we are not creating new jobs for those people to go into. It means that the extra 500,000 young people who enter the job market are fighting for the same job that you and Ben and I and Sia are all fighting over. The cake is not growing. And for me, this is fundamental. If we don't create jobs for people, then we are in big, big trouble. So, you know, when that patient walks into the room and you can just see that this is a sickly, sickly person. This economy is in big, big trouble. And I'm sure you've had these conversations with Anthea as well. But there seems to me that there isn't a sense of urgency in South Africa about the real problems. If you ask people, how many times do you hear the expression white monopoly capital or radical economic transformation? How many times do you hear people say jobs, 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 and growth, growth, growth? We seem to be talking about all the wrong things, because here, what these numbers that came out of Stats SA tell us is that we're not doing anything about growth, we're not doing anything about jobs, and that is a very, very, very bad thing. But there's some good news. There's some good news out of all this. A lot of economists surveyed and interviewed by Business Day, for example, yesterday, said that, you know, the underlying trend is that things are going to get better, that 2017 will be slightly better than 2016. I hope they're right, and I hope that there's some basis to the expectations. A lot of them say that maybe we will get to 1.4% growth, maybe the most optimistic I've seen saying 2% growth. I hope we get there. I sincerely hope that our lawmakers, our policymakers actually get us there and we do 2%, hopefully 3% and 4%. And maybe by 2019, we'll be doing 5%. Ooh, that would be happy days. We must hope.
Just talking about statisticians and economists and that kind of stuff, has anyone given forecasts of what we really should be getting?
Well, I mean, that for me, thank you, Ben. That for me is the big elephant in the room. It's let's just step back. Let's take the Minister of Social Development and all the incompetence that she has displayed this past 6 months. Let's take all the political noise that many, many people say are the leading cause of the reason why people are not putting money into this economy. What it should be is, of course, speculation, but if we didn't have all this incompetence, all this doubt about us, where would we be? According to the National Development Plan, we should be growing at 5.4% this year. That means that we should be creating the humongous amounts of jobs. I don't have the number of how much they were saying they were projecting and so forth. So we can actually begin to speculate about, okay, we did 0.3%. Our expectations as per the NDP, which was a very scientific document, would have been 5% for last year, maybe 5.4% for this year. We would be doing way better if it wasn't for our own incompetence, our own shooting ourselves in the foot. And you have to take the blame and put it exactly where it should be, and that is in Mahlamba Ndlovu and the union buildings where the president lives, because he's the captain of the ship.
Yeah, that's what's so frustrating as mere taxpayers, is that if this was a company, people would be fired. It would be simple as that. It would be, okay, right, you don't go work here.
But it is a company, and the shareholders meeting is in May 2019. And it's whether South Africans show up at the shareholders meeting where they can make that big decision or they don't. The politicians sometimes coast along on the belief that, the shareholders meeting, which is the election, is far off. And you know what? These guys will forgive me. By 2019, they'll vote me into power again and again and again. Well, let's see if that happens. We know what happened in the city of Tshwane on August 3 last year. We know what happened in the city of Joburg, Nelson Mandela Bay. As President Zuma had said, the ANC will be out of power when Jesus comes along. Well, I didn't see Jesus, but I know that power changed hands in those cities. And so we must look forward to that shareholders meeting in 2019.
Justice, I think we have time for one more point to get through. So let's turn our attention to our parastatals, shall we? Because, you know, we've become so used to our parastatals being in the news for all the wrong reasons. Who can forget the circus that played out at the SABC? And then we've just discovered recently that, you know, the SAA Pilots Association and OUTA want to take the chairperson of SAA to court. But let's talk about what, you know, what happened at PRASA recently, because it almost seems as if, you know, the board members at PRASA were caught completely unaware yesterday, when a very big decision was taken to have every single one of them removed.
I know. That was quite a thing. The PRASA board is an interesting one. There has been major fraud and corruption at PRASA for a long time. We all followed the Lucky Montana story when lots of allegations were made. The most obvious, the most plain was when the chief engineer told us that the trains would run at PRASA and that they would be okay and all that. And it turns out that they were the wrong height. Mm. And this guy claimed to have a PhD in engineering, funny enough. So you can imagine what ordinary diplomas and degreed personnel were doing if the PhD guy. Anyway, it turns out he didn't have the PhD and all that. He was fired. So this board has uncovered billions of rand of corruption at PRASA. This board acted deliciously, I have to tell you. I mean, I love what they did last Monday. We read in the Sunday Times that the acting CEO, Colin Letswalo, had given himself an increase from 1.3 million to 5.9 million rand, 350% increase. And he'd bulldozed that decision through the executive and so forth. On the Monday after we read that, they asked him to please kindly walk away. And I thought, wow, you guys are on top of things. You know what you're doing. But this week we find that the minister has fired this board. And she was in a hurry to do it, despite the fact that their tenure actually comes to an end in June this year. So what's the rush, Minister? What's the rush? But I think what happened there is that you have a board that acted against corruption, and they are being punished for it. I'm very gloomy about our state-owned enterprises. You look at Eskom, it's got an acting CEO. You look at SASA, you've got acting CEO. SABC, acting CEO. Name them. Acting. The boards, many of them non-existent. SABC, non-existent. The board at Eskom has been in so many controversies, it's crazy. So the state-owned enterprises are in trouble. Where a state-owned enterprise or its board tries to do the right thing, like at PRASA, it gets fired. And I think that there's a lot of shenanigans, or as they say in the Free State, mahem hem, in that going on around that board. And so there's a big problem going on there. But we are in trouble if our state-owned enterprises are run in this way. You know, if we go back to 2012 and to 2007, the ANC said it wants to run a capable state, and that meant that it would deploy the right people to the right jobs. Now, what we've seen are people being deployed to jobs who have absolutely no idea what they're doing. The SABC shows you people who have absolutely no clue what they're doing, and they're running the SABC. You look even at political appointments. Museveni Zizwane, for example. I mean, it's a joke what's happening in the Mineral Resources Department, where Museveni Zizwane has gone to his hometown in the Free State and appointed his mate from there as the chief of finance. Last week, he appointed a new DG. Where did he go? He went straight back to where he comes from in the Free State and appointed someone there. They used to have a word for this in Nigeria in the 1950s when liberation came. It was the homeboy syndrome. And it was, oh, Ben, you are running the show while Gareth is away. So instead of working with Mabale, you just say, I'm from Hammanskraal. I'm going to get my friend from Hammanskraal to come in and work with me. And it's like, what's going on here? So the homeboy syndrome is all over our SOEs, is all over our government and so forth. It's, what do you do? I'm going to get my the guy from my village. And the guy from my village will be the guy I appoint. And it's a terrible thing. So to your point, Mabale, the SOEs are in big, big trouble. And I think that Popo Molefe and the PRASA board were responsible for the cleaning up or trying to clean up PRASA after the mess that Lucky Montana left it in. And they are being punished for it. It's worth noting that the Hawks were given the documentation, were given charges were laid with them, and they haven't acted on the PRASA corruption. And so why should Popo Molefe be blamed for not acting on the corruption there when Benning Tlemeza at the Hawks has not lifted a finger to investigate any of it after everything that he's been given? That is where the problem really lies.
Justice, before we let you go, we just have one question here. It's got to do with the courts. Ashley messaged in saying he's very nervous about the ANC's documents, about their plans for the courts. He thinks they're going to be truly screwed if they do infiltrate the courts. Is there anything more you can add on this?
Yeah, the ANC is releasing its discussion documents for its national policy conference, which will be held at the end of June. One of the suggestions in these documents is that the ANC wants to see what it says in the document are more progressive judges on the bench. It wants to see the selection of judges being more looked at. So just not the Judicial Services Commission, but who sits on the Judicial Services Commission. Now, you remember that the judges have been have been amazing in many ways, in taking on the executive and saying, this is right, this is not right, this is wrong, you can't do this, and so forth and so forth. So a lot of people have felt that, no, the judges, and you remember Gwede Mantashe saying, yeah, the judiciary is oppositional because it's taken some very strong views on a few issues. The ICC, the Al-Bashir matter, Ganja, and so forth and so forth. If the ANC begins this campaign and it succeeds in it, yes, we do have a big, big problem because essentially it's saying we're going to take the judiciary and make it or turn it into a lapdog of the ruling party. So the debate is only now starting, but it's been kind of blowing around underground in the judiciary and others. And I think it will come out even more in the next few months in the run-up to the ANC policy conference. And I think it's something we need to keep an eye on. Basically, that document says the ANC wants to control the judiciary. And that is a dangerous thing. It's a hugely dangerous thing. We need to watch out for it. We need to have more debates about it. But quite frankly, I'm not sure how the ANC intends to do that. It would only mean that the ANC would have to remove people like Julius Malema, for example, from the Judicial Services Commission and change the way we select our judges. The one thing that is interesting for me is that over the past week, President Jacob Zuma has removed his three representatives on the Judicial Services Commission, and they are one of them is Dumisani Tsebeza. Can't remember the other two. And I wonder if he's going to put in party hacks into the JSC who will do his bidding and therefore vote to appoint judges who are seen as being pro-ANC. I think it would be cynical, but it will be it's an interesting process to watch. And I think the question is absolutely right. We need to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, I just get nervous when you hear the words "more progressive judges" because, I mean, like you and I have an understanding about progressive, but ANC's understanding of the word progressive makes me nervous.
I think it's very, very important. A progressive judge is to be welcomed. Let's take issues of abortion and so forth. Progressive means that you look at, you know, Roe versus Wade in the U.S. and so forth, and look at the abortion law in a very progressive manner. Progressive in the way it's being used now could be that it's no. Look at my side of the factions in the ANC and rule for my side. So it's a legitimate and very serious issue that is being raised here.
And also, I don't think the ANC should be in charge of more. Maybe less. They don't seem to be doing so well with what they are in charge of right now. Maybe just,
I'm not sure.
Just consolidate what you got.
I think the big issue is that there are some things that should be above party politics.
Yeah.
And the ANC knows that more than many other people, and it should be it's ANC members who should be worried when, for example, people in the executive want to have more, not less, control of the judiciary. So it's really something to look out for.
Cool. Well, Justice, thanks so much for joining us as per usual. If you didn't catch all of this, you can get the podcast on cliffcentral.com, and we'll catch you next week.
Super. Thanks, guys. All right. Cheers. Have a good week.
Burning platform fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.